You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
And entitled Experiencing the Holy Spirit. And we'll try to reserve some time after the sermon today to spend some time in prayer and soaking in the Spirit. You might be wondering how a sermon on the Holy Spirit fits into the Third Way series. The premise of the series is that the gospel of the kingdom of God is at the heart of our faith. We said that the gospel is about three major things. One, that Jesus came and he inaugurated the kingdom of God, this upside down kingdom. We call this the incarnational gospel. And that secondly, that he died for us. He defeated the kingdom of darkness through the power of the cross and took upon himself the penalty for our sins and gave us his righteousness. We call this the atonement gospel. And when we come to the realization of this, it changes our hearts. So we call it the inside out kingdom. And thirdly, that he was resurrected and is coming back, and that he will complete the kingdom of God, which he inaugurated in the first coming. When he comes in a second coming, he will restore the earth to the beauty that he intended. We call this the restoration gospel. Now, it is the last aspect of the gospel, the restoration gospel, that points us to the role of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. It says this: when you believe, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What is a deposit, by the way? Deposit is a partial payment for the whole, right? So this passage is saying that when the day of redemption comes, when the day of restoration comes, we will receive 100% of the inheritance. But God has put down a deposit now, so we can experience a part of the inheritance to come right now. We can experience the power and the beauty of the kingdom of God. We can experience the power and the beauty of heaven right now. And how do we experience that? That deposit is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment for the inheritance that is to come. And do you know what this means? It means that the part of the power and beauty of the kingdom to come, we can experience right now through the Holy Spirit. And that's why Holy Spirit came after Jesus ascended. And that's why Jesus said, when the power from on high comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will do even greater things than I did. Greater things than Jesus is? He says, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, that's what's going to happen. That's why Jesus told us to wait. He told the disciples right before he ascended, he says, wait until the power on high comes upon us, upon you. And that's why when his followers, when they received the Holy Spirit, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they did miracles, drove out demons. They did some amazing things. That was the beginning of the spreading of the church. But it's not just in these dramatic things. Holy Spirit helps us to live our lives in a very practical way. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. No, fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit, right? Which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you want these things, the Holy Spirit gives them to you. It's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gives us the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the church. There are supernatural gifts, like gifts of healing. And there are also not so supernatural gifts, like gifts of teaching, helping, serving, administrating, organizing, gifts of wisdom, gifts of discernment, all kinds of spiritual gifts for the edification of the body of Christ, for the mission of the church, which is to love. As you can see, the Holy Spirit is at the heart of our lives, is at the heart of the church, and is at the heart of the kingdom of God. So I want us today, I want us to dwell on the passage that teaches us how to experience the Holy Spirit. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of us think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is purely an emotional experience. It is an emotional experience, I think, but there's a lot more to it than that. If we think of it only as an emotional experience, we're going to burn out. I think that's why some people who had an amazing experience with the Spirit of God sometimes do not dwell in that realm anymore. Coming from a Pentecostal church, they kind of get burnt out, tired out of the roller coaster emotional ride that sometimes they experience. They want something steadier. My goal today is to help us build a foundation to be a church that is solidly grounded on the gospel and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if our spiritual experiences are not grounded in the gospel, we will not be able to sustain this for the long haul. And so I want us to become long-term charismatics, okay? So in order to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, we need to understand what it means to just live by the Spirit. Because if you know how to do this, if you know the basics of living by the Spirit, you know what it means to be completely soaked in it, what it means to be filled with it. So we got to understand the basics in order to understand the full measure of what it means. So what does it mean to live by the Spirit? You know, the whole theme of Book of Galatians, Book of Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrews, in fact, the whole Bible is that we once lived under the law, but now we live by the Spirit. There is a movement from the law to the Spirit. To understand what living by the Spirit means, we have to understand it in contrast to how the Bible contrasts it. It is living by the law. And that's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And Romans chapter 7, verse 6 says, "We have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." There is a movement from living by the law to living by the Spirit. Living by the law means we focus on fixing ourselves. We focus on doing better. We focus on performance. We focus on trying to do the right thing. We focus, for example, on trying to stop doing drugs. We try to focus on stopping that sinful lifestyle. And these are all good things to focus on. But we know often what the right thing to do is. But the problem is we can't do them, no matter how hard we try. Paul says that living by the law does not work. If you look at Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 19, there's that whole chapter 7 is so beautiful, but I don't have time to go over all. So let me give you a couple of verses. He says, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing." That's the reality of living by the law. And he continues on, goes on and on and on and go, "What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Then he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then, so he talks about the problem of living by the law, perpetual vicious cycle of sin, no matter how hard we try. And then in chapter 8, he says, "But we can live by the Spirit." The chapter 8 is all about living by the Spirit. He starts out by saying, Jesus came and he died for us. And he took the penalty for our sins. And he gave us his righteousness. And there is no more condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. He says, It is a life of freedom. It's a life in which we can actually enter into the presence of God regardless of what we have done. Paul goes on to explain this further in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. This is sort of the zenith of the book. It's the zenith of what it means to live by the Spirit as opposed to the vicious cycle of living by the law. He said, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves," which is what he was talking about in chapter 7, "so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you live brought about your adoption to sonship." He talks about sonship because sons had all the rights. "And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." There's a sense of intimacy. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory." And so Paul is saying to live by the Spirit means to live as sons and daughters, beloved children of God, as opposed to living as a slave to the law and ending up in a perpetual cycle of sin. Here's a summary of the differences between living by the law and living by the Spirit. We saw that he equates living by the law as a perpetual vicious cycle of slavery. And he says living by the Spirit is like being a son, sonship. Living by the law, we're dead in sin. It's like we have no power. Living by the law, living by the Spirit, there is life. From bondage to freedom, from darkness to life, from the old covenant to the new covenant, to living by works to living by grace. It's not what I do, it's about what he has done. Living by the law is performance-based. Our identity, worth, and self-value comes from how we perform. But living by the Spirit is grace-based. We're adopted, loved, and valued because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Living by the law is contractual. I have a tendency to bargain with God. "Lord, I'll do this if you do that for me." We obey in order to get things from God. In living by the Spirit, we're just grateful. We're just thankful. Because we know is that we were screwed up, more messed up than we know, but God loves us more than we can ever imagine. There is a sense of humility and a sense of confidence as we live by the Spirit. When we live by the law, we're constantly trying to get God to do something. In living by the Spirit, we are soaking in what God has already done. In living by the law, we're trying to earn our approval. In living by the Spirit, we're soaking in our approval. To live by the Spirit means to live in a second column and to leave the first column. You know, to be a Christian is to move from the first column to the second column. We repent of our sins and we put our faith in what he has done and we live by the Spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. If you actually live by the law and try to do this charismatic thing, you're going to get all messed up. Some of you are messed up because of it. You have to have the foundation of living by the Spirit before you go to the fullness of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When our kids were younger, they used to come to our bed when they woke up. And, you know, they would snuggle up in between Grace and me. And it was sweet. They don't do that anymore. I miss that. When Bennett was about 6 years old, I remember he jumped into our bed one morning, and I was just really delighted to see him. And I looked at him, and I asked him, "Do you think I love you because you're so handsome?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you think I love you because you're super smart?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you think I love you because you're a super good boy?" He said, "No." I said, do you think I love you because you're so nice to your sisters?" He said, "No." Then I asked him, "Why do you think I love you?" He said, "Because I'm your son." And I said, "That's right. That's right. I love you because you're my son. I will always love you no matter what. Even if you're not so nice, even if you're not so smart, even if you're not so cute, even if you're not so good, I will always love you no matter what, because nothing could change the fact that you are my son. And if I do this with Bennett, how much more our Father in heaven? You see, living by the Spirit means we climb up into his bed and enjoy the pleasure of his intimacy, knowing that we are adopted and fully accepted and embraced as sons and daughters of God. Now, then, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? When I was growing up, our house didn't have central heating, so we had these wall units, and there was a pilot light that we had to light actually every winter. And but when we wanted to turn it on, you know, we would turn the knob in the bottom, and it just go, and I can actually see fire going like that. I think when we come to realize God's love for us, when we repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, a pilot light comes on. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. But when we experience the fullness of our identity in Christ, that we are sons and daughters of God, and we are loved no matter what by our perfect Father, that we give him pleasure, that he delights in us, and that he is pleased with us. When we come to realize that, everything changes. Everything changes. We become kind of a pwah Christian. Yeah? We get excited. We fall in love with God. We begin to share the delight of his presence. And he's just so good. You live in the goodness of who he is. See, being filled with the Spirit is to be saturated, is to be soaked, is to be immersed, is to be baptized with God's grace, his love, his pleasure, his intimacy, his embrace. The language of being filled with the Spirit is love and intimate love. When people are filled with the Spirit, they always talk about, oh, I feel God's love. If you don't feel God's love, you're not being filled with the Spirit. You're being filled with something else. I feel God's love. And in a way, sometimes we feel this, sometimes we feel his love in such a powerful way that it begins to control us. Because we're either controlled by the Spirit or we're controlled by something else. The passage we read today said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by anything else other than the Spirit of God. Be controlled by his love, his presence, his acceptance, his approval. Drink the water of the Spirit. In fact, get drunk on the water of the Spirit. Jump into the stream of life. The Spirit is the water that shall never make you thirsty again. Amen. Allow yourself to be free and jump into the Spirit of God and just begin to drink up. You know, this passage, you know, it goes on and on, and it says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we read this passage, you go, see, it says you can't be drunk with wine. Didn't say anything about beer. Didn't say, you know, people go into all kinds of weird manipulation of scripture. But then the point is, it's not about alcohol. That's not the point that he's trying to make. He's saying, you know, instead of being controlled by other things, be controlled, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I think in some sense, being filled with the Holy Spirit is kind of like getting drunk with the Spirit. And that's the metaphor he's trying to bring out. That's the point that he's trying to bring out. He's not really talking about alcohol. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, being drunk with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that if you read through the Bible, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit look drunk. When the Pentecost happened, when the Spirit of God came upon them in Acts chapter 2, what did people think they were? Drunk. People said, these people are drunk. Because I guess being filled with the Holy Spirit could look like you're drunk. And you know, it happens several times, and it happens all throughout the early church as well. They call it sober intoxication of the Spirit. St. Augustine talked about the sober intoxication of the Spirit. Ambrose talked about sober intoxication. Cyril, the Bishop of Jerusalem, talked about sober intoxication. There was a lot of sober intoxication going on in the early church. Yeah, because it's really fun. It's, you know, you just begin to soak in His love and allow His love and allow who He says you are to soak into your heart. The new identity that He gives you. You are my son. You are my daughter. When it begins to penetrate in beyond the callousness of our heart and we begin to receive that, we begin to receive His love. It's like a party. You know, it's like, Christianity starts with a party. A bunch of people look drunk, right? In Acts 2, kind of, if you look at that as the beginning of New Testament Christianity. I mean, it's a drinking party, and we all get splattered in the Spirit, we get soaked in the Spirit. Amen. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. Yeah. See, it's better than the other stuff. Better than the other stuff. Yeah, I personally think people who really are trying to get off the other stuff, you go, you know, when you taste the good stuff, you don't want to go back to the other stuff. Why don't we get really drunk with this stuff so we don't have to want to get drunk with that other stuff that gives you a headache afterwards. It messes your life up in more ways than you can count. But here's something beautiful. You know, some people experience this in a crazy way. I've had some crazy experiences of the sober intoxication of the Spirit. In fact, I feel a little intoxicated right now as I'm talking to you. I've been feeling this way all morning. But some people experience this in a quiet way. Some experience physical manifestation. Some don't. What matters is not the outward manifestation of the Spirit, which you may or may not experience. What matters is the inward experience of the Spirit of God. Let me give you an analogy. I remember when I first fell in love with Grace, I felt these tingly sensations in my spine. And when I thought about her, my heart beat faster when I saw her, especially if I didn't see her for a while. And I almost felt giddy at times when I thought about her, because I was just so gone for her. And I had to chase her for a long time, so it was especially like this. That's another story. But you know, it would be silly to just try to seek after these manifestations. I should seek after Grace, not the way it makes me feel, right? Now, these sensations, these emotions that I was experiencing is a byproduct of my love for Grace. The important thing is to seek Grace and not these sensations. The important thing is to seek God and His presence and not these physical manifestations. But on the other hand, it's not bad to feel these sensations. If I said that, you know, I should not feel these tingling sensations or excitement when you're in love, I mean, that would be silly. You can't tell someone that you can't feel love. The feelings and sensations are a natural product of my love for Grace, and it's perfectly natural and normal. And some people feel it, and some people don't, but that's not what matters. What matters is the person, and that's what we seek. It is the experience of God. We see God and being a child of God. I love this example by Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan who lived about 300 years ago. He illustrated this like this. Picture a man walking with his son, holding hands on a park on a sunny day. And they're just walking and they're happy, just walking, walking, walking. And then he stops and he looks at his son and he smiles and he's just like, tosses his son up the, you know, he's a young son, tosses his son up the, you know, up and he goes, ee! And then he catches him and he holds him and embraces him and kisses him and goes, I love you. And then he puts him down, holds his hand and continues to walk in the park. That's our relationship with God. Sometimes he tosses us up in the sky and we want to go, wee, do it again. You know, and sometimes he just embraces us and loves us and he goes, oh, thank you. It's so good. and filled with the Spirit. But then, sometimes he's just walking with us, hand in hand. He's still there. He doesn't love us any less just because we don't experience it. He embraces you and loves you. Now, how can we experience God's love? How can you soak in God's love? You know, I think to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to just surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. He is already in us. Spirit of God lives in you. If you repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you repented of your sin and put your faith in what He has done, now you're living by the Spirit, and now you're saying, Lord, I want to surrender everything to You. I want to surrender my body to You. I want to surrender everything, my mind, my heart, my thoughts, every part of my body. I want it to be saturated by Your love, by Your pleasure, by Your freedom, by Your joy. Lord, I want to ask You to fill me, and I receive it with faith. You know, we can't produce anything. We just like say, Lord, I surrender. Will You just fill me with Your love? So I think it involves, in part, letting our inhibitions go a little bit. There's a lot of social, whatever, you want to look cool and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of inhibitions that we live through, a lot of structures that we live in. And we don't want to be embarrassed, we don't want to do this, we don't want to look like that crazy guy, or is it appropriate? All these kinds of things create a lot of headache. When you're trying to just let go and just be and allow God to saturate you with His love. So sometimes I think one of the best ways is to just sit down and soak in the love of God. You can just go home and go into a quiet room and just lie down. I love just lying down and just play some good Holy Spirit music. You know, like it says in the passage, sing songs of Spirit. Allow hymns, songs of Spirit to just saturate you and just allow the Spirit of God to say, I love you. And let all the monkeys that are jumping around in your head rest for a while. Because in the beginning, they'll just jump around a little bit, but then you quiet your soul in front of God and allow the Spirit of God to just penetrate into your life. And you just go, thank You, Lord. Just soaking in His love. Sometimes you may experience something amazing, sometimes you don't, but you know that He's hugging you, He's there with you. You have an inward experience of the Spirit of God. This is charismatic Christianity that's sustainable for the long haul. Because we live by the Spirit, and we just take time in the Spirit to be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. This is something that God calls us to do regularly. And if we do so, we are empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. We are given the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of things happen. It's not just good times. You know, God calls us to action. We do something about stuff. But it starts out with just soaking in the love of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes I think we're like a little dried up sponge. You know, when you take a sponge out of a new plastic thing, it's nice and soft and it's really good, right? But you use the sponge for a while and put it next to the sink, it just kind of dries up and gets all crusty, right? And even if you take that sponge and you put it in the water, sometimes it takes a few seconds for the water to actually soak in. It takes some time. Because of the crustedness. And I think oftentimes our lives are like that. Our hearts are like that. There's a lot of cynicism, a lot of crust, we're beat up by this and that. And it's just so many different pressures and monkeys jumping around in our lives. There's so much crust in the shell of our heart. But if we just begin to soak in the love of God, as sons and daughters of God, we just allow God to penetrate. We just begin to drop into the water and experience the water. Experience the stream of life. Experience the Spirit of God. Amen? So what I want to do today is to spend some time soaking in the Spirit of God. I want to ask the worship team to come back up. And they're going to be playing some music. And I want you to just get comfortable. We're going to do this for about 10 minutes. You know, just maybe you just slouch where you're sitting, or maybe you're, you know, sitting upright is your comfort position. That's whatever it is. I'm just going to make myself comfortable here. You know, you can just, if you want to just go back and just lie down, that's fine too. There's some flat surfaces here. If you want to come up and join me, that's fine as well. Just lie down and allow the Spirit of God to penetrate into your heart. Just say, Lord, thank you. And allow His approval, His love, His pleasure over you to penetrate into your hearts. Amen? Yes, Lord, let our lives be filled with your love and presence. Be filled with a new identity that is in you. Be filled with your warmth and embrace. Be filled with your power, power of the kingdom of God to come, which has been deposited to us now. So Lord, may our lives become an overflow of this amazing gift that you have given us. Help us to live by the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, O Lord. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to our family out of overflow of love that you have given us. Help us to be a blessing to our colleagues, to our friends, to our fellow students, wherever context we're in, oh Lord. Help us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, as a community of followers of Jesus Christ, the church, your bride, whom you love, gave your life for, help us to become a demonstration of your grace, an overflow of your Spirit to the world. Lord, not only this local congregation, oh Lord, but congregations everywhere, especially in areas in which there's so much violence and strife. As we are here, as they are in Paris, as they are in Syria, Beirut, and parts of Africa, Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Lord, all over, there's so much violence. Will you bring peace, O Lord? Peace of the kingdom of God to the world, and help the church to carry that peace to the world with love, not with vengeance, but with grace. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.